Welcome back to the In the Dugout podcast. My name is Jason Ward alongside Joey Nagel and Will McNamara, coming off a three-game sweep of the Pirates. How are we feeling?
Vibes are still kind of low.
At what cost?
My emotions are confused. Exactly. So you win.
I just don't know what to think.
You win three against the Pirates. You sweep them. That's cool. But Casas is out. Whitlock's hurt. Devers is hurt. The vibes are weird. Anyways, let's get into it. So we last left off. We recorded during the first game of the Guardians series. So there were three more games in that series we can cover. Then we'll get to the Pirates series. There's a lot to sort through here because the state of the Red Sox organization right now, there's a lot of injuries. There's a lot of people out. There's a lot of confusion, yet they're still 13-10 and just swept the Pirates. So there's a lot to get into. That Guardian series, we covered the first game. You lose that one 6-0. Whatever. We talked about that. Game number two against the Guardians. You lose that one 10-7. This game hurt. This game hurt me. Kenley blown save. Because it was all great up until then. Kind of. Well, you're down 5-1. But then you make a rally. You go up 6-5 in the sixth. Casas homered. Wong homered. Wong has been outstanding, by the way. We'll get to that. Devers had a two-run double to go up 6-5. That's the game that Whitlock got hurt in, too. He got an oblique injury. He only made it to like 50, 60 pitches in that game. He was put on the IL, but should make it back in the minimum time there. He was pushing to stay active, but the Red Sox sided in the way of caution and decided to put him on the IL. Devers got hurt in that game, too. So you go into the ninth. Kenley blows the save. And then Wink fell apart, and you lose that one 10-7.
I got a fun fact about this game. That this would have been, I think, only the second comeback win of the season for the Sox.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds.
I think I touched on it the last pod. I said this team has no ability to rally and to come back. And then immediately the next game, they do that. And then Kenley walks in. That was the least surprising blown save ever.
I knew we were going to lose that game.
Yeah.
I don't know if other fans have to deal with this, but as a Red Sox fan, I constantly have this feeling when we take a lead that we're going to lose. Like, that should not happen. Like, you should take a lead and be like, oh my God, now we're going to win. But when the Red Sox take a lead, it's like, oh, we're going to find a way to blow this and lose it. And that was exactly what happened in that game. The second Kenley Jansen walked in. Yeah.
They just can't play with a lead. And the other thing that's really been getting to me is all these extra inning games. We're losing by like 4-5.
Yeah.
We are getting blown up in the 10th.
I hate
doing
extras.
Nothing in the bottom. I really hate extra innings because it's an automatic loss and it's going to be by like 5 runs.
Yeah, it's literally just like watch us give up a million runs in the top half and then maybe if you're lucky we'll scrape across that ghost runner in the bottom half and only lose by like 4.
Yeah. So I don't think the Red Sox have had an extra inning game after that. But I know at that point, the Red Sox gave up 13 runs in extra innings. They only played 4 games that went into extra innings. So that's 13 runs in 4 games just in extra innings alone. That's not supposed to happen.
Wasn't one of them against the A's where the A's couldn't bring the ghost runner home both times?
Yeah.
So 13 runs in 3 games.
True.
Yeah.
That's really, really bad.
Yeah, I mean, one of them was 6 or 7 against the Orioles, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Isaiah Campbell experience. He's disappeared. Is he hurt? See, we're at this point with the pitching staff where we're like, I don't even know.
Yeah, we're what, 23 totally games into the season and I already don't know who's on the team.
Yeah, yep. Like... Until you mentioned it like 2 minutes ago, I forgot that Whitlock was on the injured list. I was like, why is TBD starting on Wednesday?
Yeah. So
And like Pivetta, I thought he was supposed to be back by now. I guess not.
Yeah. So you got Pivetta out. You got Whitlock out. Obviously, Story's out. You got O'Neill out. Devers was out for this whole Pirates series. Hopefully, he's getting back into things tomorrow. We'll get to this, but Tyler Heineman as your DH? He's your third string catcher, maybe your fourth string catcher, and he was the DH for the finale in the Pirates series. Batting, I think, like sixth, seventh. Okay, batting eighth, but still. What are we doing? What are we doing? The whole team's hurt. Anyways, let's get to the good before we get to the rest of the bad. Tanner Houck in game three. We got to give him his credit here. This was one of the most, if not the most, dominant pitching performances I've ever watched. He carved up the Guardians. He said he felt like he was just playing catch out there for a complete game shut piece, 94 pitches. He goes 9 full innings, 0 runs, 0 walks, just 3 hits on 94 pitches. A good old Maddux. The game time on that one, 1 hour, 49 minutes. Fastest game I've ever seen.
That
Incredible.
was beautiful to watch. That was an unbelievably pitched game. He looked sharp on every single pitch. He made very few mistakes. And on 94 pitches, I mean, the efficiency there is just unbelievable.
Just cruise control. He didn't run
Should have been
into
a
any
perfect
trouble the
game.
whole night. It should have been a perfect game. Yeah. I mean, I'll count it as a perfect game. That was the best pitching performance I've seen by a Red Sox pitcher. The last one that comes to mind is Brian Johnson on, what was it, Labor Day or Memorial Day? Yeah, shout out to him. I think that was actually the last time there was a complete game shutout at Fenway Park specifically. So, comparison there. But yeah, I mean, give Houck all the credit. He's been outstanding this whole season, aside from that one Angels start where he played them for the second time in like 5 days. But other than that, he's been just incredible. I can't state enough how huge it is to have a guy like Tanner Houck stepping up to this fashion for this Red Sox rotation. I mean, the Red Sox rotation as a whole has been incredible, but we talked about this whole offseason how we didn't know if Houck was going to be able to be in the rotation. We talked about him as being maybe the closer, a bullpen guy, and he kind of earned that fifth spot in the rotation late in the spring training. And for a guy who wasn't even going to be in the rotation for sure when spring training started, for him to go out there and have a sub-3 ERA, pitch a complete game shutout like this, and just be dominant most of the season, that's incredible for this Red Sox team.
Love to see it. I'm just trying to find his third time through the order stats because that was always the biggest question mark with him. And so far, so good this year. I mean, if he can keep it up, like this isn't third time. Oh, here we go. Here we go. So third time through the order is actually his best splits so far this year. First time through the order, 206 opponent batting average. Second time, 229 opponent batting average. And then third time through, for his career, he was, and almost hitters were hitting almost 400. And now they're 192 third time through the order.
Wow.
So,
Wow.
I didn't
yeah.
know that.
So that is some real improvement. He has just as many strikeouts third time through the order as he does first time through the order. He's given up less hits. He's given up 3 runs first time through, 1 run second time through, 1 run third time through, and then 2 runs fourth time through. So far he's growing the way that we thought he should. In order to be a starter, you have to get outs the third time through. He's finally doing it. That's another Andrew Bailey dub. Dave Bush could never do that. That's all Andrew
Exactly.
right there.
I mean, that was Tanner Houck's whole problem. Like he could we saw how dominant he was when he faced the order for the first time. That's why we thought he'd be a great reliever, but his problem was always the third time through, like you said. And so the fact that he was able to identify that and then figure out a way to improve and make that adjustment, that speaks volumes to how he's improved, how Andrew Bailey has improved the pitching staff, and just the way that he's kind of developed into a real starter in the rotation.
Another thing I think is in that game itself, that complete game, that kind of needed to happen too. Like that
Yes.
was a game where our offense goes and puts up 2 runs in run support for Tanner Houck, throwing an absolute masterpiece. So like he has to go get those outs. It's life or death for him because if the bullpen comes in, guess what? The Red Sox are getting swept at Fenway 2 series in a row.
Yeah, that came
And
off
it
of
saves the
two straight
bullpen for the
losses.
next game, which I
Yeah.
believe was an opener. So it
And the
was
bullpen was cooked at that point because you had the extra inning game the night before.
exactly.
And Whitlock got hurt in that game. So they were extra tired from that. So it just again, you can't state enough how huge this game was and how huge Tanner Houck has been. It's just incredible to watch. And I will fully bring up the fact that I did predict him to have the lowest ERA of all Red Sox starters. So, which is actually in jeopardy because Cutter Crawford is leading the MLB in ERA. So that might
lethal.
Miss because Cutter's just insane. Yeah, but yeah, credit to Tanner Houck for that one. Game four, you come out and lose again, though. So you kind of you had a great feeling, and then you get left with a bad taste in your mouth to finish the series. You lose 3 out of 4. Just the classic Red Sox game. 2 dumb errors with a difference in that game. You gave up 3 unearned runs. The Red Sox are the unearned run kings. They love to give them up. David Hamilton and Pablo Reyes were the guilty members of the error party, as they typically are, because neither of them can field a baseball for their lives. We also struck out 10 times. So
another fun fact. After this game, the Kansas City Royals at the time had not allowed an unearned run for the entire season. And after this 5-4 loss, the Red Sox had allowed their 26th unearned run. That sounds unbelievable, right? I checked it, and it's true. The Red Sox have allowed 26 unearned runs, and the Kansas City Royals have allowed 0.
I don't know about you, Will, but I did not have fun listening to that fun fact.
No, that was not a fun fact at all.
That was a terrible fact.
No, that was a bad fact.
Yeah,
I also love how they've been putting – they're trying to put Pablo at first now, so he has a bigger glove. Maybe he can actually catch things.
He needs those – you know those just giant gloves that people wear in the stands sometimes, like the comically large gloves? He needs one of those.
That could work.
Put it on
him. No, it probably wouldn't.
He would probably trip over the glove and fall face first. Like, yep, Joey.
31% of the Red Sox have the Red Sox have allowed the least earned runs in the majors.
Oh, wow.
However, 31% of the runs they've allowed this year have been unearned.
That's insane. Like,
yeah.
Think about that. That's basically a third of the runs they've allowed have been from errors, unearned runs.
Should
Has
we
that
start
ever happened s- before? Like, that's ridiculous.
Should we start a new segment, Not Fun Facts with Joey?
Yeah,
I'm not having fun right now with
these
facts.
Are just not fun.
I feel like I'm being slapped in the face. That's what happens, though. When you have David Hamilton out there at shortstop, Pablo Reyes at third base, and Emmanuel Valdez at second base, the errors are going to come like a blizzard. Just icicles being chucked at you from the skies. It's terrible.
Last one, we also have 6 blown saves. Okay, continue.
Ooh.
We've played 23 games. 23 games, and we've blown 6 saves. How?
It is incredible. It's incredible we're 13-10. There's so many parts of it that is just
unbelievable that this team is above 500.
It's unbelievable they're above 500 because of all these errors and mistakes and blown saves and whatnot. But then if you think about if those errors and mistakes didn't happen, like if we played normal baseball, we'd be the best team in the league. Like, it's crazy to think about.
It's so weird because we have the lowest ERA as a team in the majors. By a lot, I may mention.
Yep.
252 team ERA. The next closest is 294. But then the Sox also have hit the second most home runs in baseball. So if you look just on those two stats alone,
this team should be winning all of their games.
Yep.
Exactly. But the problem is that, they've hit the second most home runs in the league, but they're somehow 15th in OPS. So exactly league average. That just shows that they are not getting on base.
The Red Sox are going to do two things. They're going to hit solo shots, and they're going to give up unearned runs.
Exactly.
It's a solo shot every single time. Story's first 7 were solo shots.
O'Neill.
Or O'Neill. I don't know why I'm thinking Story there.
Well, O'Neill hasn't played, so it might as well be Story. Like, I forgot he was on the team.
A little bit lost there.
I mean, this team does that to you. You just get lost.
Honestly, it's just like who's playing, who's not playing. Someone's hurt. Wait, no, everyone's hurt.
I'll tell you what. This whole weekend, I was in spring training mode, where like I don't watch the game. I'm just like tracking it on my phone. I'm like, oh, we won. That's cool.
For some
Yeah,
reason, I thought Bobby Dalbec was like finally like sent down and just kept down, and then all of a sudden he's in the lineup again. And
I got a
I don't even
Twitter
know if he left.
notification from Karabas. Just all caps, don't let Bob get hot.
Dalbec had
And
a double in the
he had a
Pirates'
double, his
first game.
first hit of the season. Does this
Let's
wait,
go.
does this go under fun facts with Joe or not fun facts? Because Bobby
That's like an
Dalbec,
earth-shattering fact.
this is
I feel like that's a fun fact. We love Bob, kind
let's get a
of.
fun one in here.
Okay, got you. Bobby Dalbec, 0.33 batting average. That is the same as Jackson Holliday.
That's not fun.
Jackson Holliday is the number one prospect. Bobby Dalbec has the same batting average as the number one prospect in baseball.
Jackson Holliday's a bust. Jackson busted today.
Yeah,
I don't
I
know what you're
didn't
talking
like
about.
that
They have the
fact
same
either.
batting average. That means that they're just like Bobby Dalbec might as well be the number one prospect right now.
I mean, he was at one point.
I don't think
Not in
so.
baseball, but for the Red Sox. That didn't work out.
Wait.
It could work out still though, 'cause
This
it's
is
his
funny.
time now.
The MLB app has this new like story feature where like you click on a player and it shows. So I clicked on Bobby Dalbec. It says, Bobby Dalbec. Oh no. Most recent game and best of the last 10 games. The next slide is Bobby Dalbec called out on strikes. Bobby Dalbec called out on strikes. Bobby Dalbec lines out. Bobby Dalbec walks. Bobby Dalbec strikes out swinging. And that's the end of it.
Poor Bobby, man.
They didn't even put his double in.
That's depressing.
That's tough.
So I happen to be busy during this. I mean, we're in the Pirates series now. That's when the first game was when he had the double. I didn't watch this game, and I was going back and looking through the box score, and I saw like Bobby Dalbec had a double. I'm like, is that a mistake? Like, did someone make an error here? Like, there's no way that Bobby Dalbec had a double in an MLB baseball game for the Red Sox in 2024. Sure enough, Bobby was out there swinging the thing. Is Bobby Dalbec going to save the season?
Well, the Orioles are still
If
pretty happy with Jackson Holliday, so if we frame it through that lens,
I
I'd
mean,
say
the
so.
Orioles World Series odds went up when they called up Jackson Holliday. So I think since they're the same player, our World Series odds must have gone up too when we got Bobby Dalbec back
Yeah,
up here.
actually, you know what? Let's do an experiment. How about we send Bobby down and see what our odds look like just for the sake of science? Because, you know,
Right.
if we send him down, our odds will get longer. But then we
Right.
want to embrace that underdog role, so we just keep them there.
Right. I see what you're saying here. Yeah.
If Bobby Dalbec is the savior of our team this year, I honestly don't think I will ever understand the Red Sox for the rest of my entire
Well, what if
life.
it's as a
I just would
pitcher?
not be able to get it as
People
a
forget he can
pitcher.
pitch.
See, that's an idea.
It is definitely an idea.
Whatever gets him not in a position to strike out, whether it's on the mound, in the stands, in the clubhouse, wherever he needs to be.
No, we need him striking out from the mound.
Right. True. Yes.
That could be a play.
Maybe he's going to pitch in TBD's spot on Wednesday. We'll
Yeah,
see.
TBD is the Bobby Dalbec. That's what that stands for.
And today's starter, Bobby
Yeah.
Dalbec. What?
Whoa, did you just come up with that off the dome on the spot?
Yes, I did.
TBD? Wow.
TBD is the Bobby Dalbec, so
The
he's
Bobby
going on
Dalbec.
Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's your starting pitcher on Wednesday. Awesome.
So what, you know, the reality has been that we've had a lot of TBDs over the past few years, but Bobby's been on the team the past few years. So it
Yeah.
kind of makes sense. They're scheduling him, and then some selfish pitcher is just like, actually, no, I'm going to pitch today. And Bobby, being the nice guy that he is just like, go for it.
Yeah, because Bobby's a great guy. He doesn't want to step on
Yeah, he's a
anyone's
really
shoes, you
nice.
know?
Yeah, he's really nice. So he's just, you know, spreading the
He
love.
wouldn't want to get in anyone's way.
I
Yeah,
don't think
he's
the
like,
league will let Bobby Dalbec pitch because they just know how dominant he'll be. Like, I
it'll
think
be over
Manfred
for
sees,
everyone.
like, TBD on the schedule, and they're like, Alex, you better not put Bobby in there. Like, I'm going to suspend you if you put Bobby in there. You better not do it. And Bobby's like, I don't want anyone to get in trouble. Just let someone else pitch. It's okay. That's what happens. But this Wednesday, maybe it's his time.
Yeah, just a real stand-up guy. His most recent season in Arizona, 250 ERA. I mean, his career college ERA was 265 in 200 innings and 168 Ks. So that's pretty good. Only, yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty
That's
good.
not bad.
Pretty good.
I heard he even has like his own pitch that he invented that's just called the bob. And when he throws it, it bobs and weaves. Like it does
Can
like a little
confirm.
crisscross applesauce in the air and it makes the hitter just look silly.
Oh, his Cape Cod numbers are disgusting. 132 ERA with 16 punchies. So wait, when Bobby Dalbec is a pitcher in the state of Massachusetts, he has a 132 ERA.
I think we found our solution here. He also, correct
All
me if
right,
I'm
someone
wrong,
call up
but
AC.
I believe he has never allowed a run at the major league level.
He has not.
Career
Not one.
zero ERA.
And that's despite being scheduled for a numerous amount of starts before
He's
being
been on the
scratched
schedule more
last
than
minute.
anyone. And hasn't allowed a single run.
Like, you know what? Let me check who's starting the last game of the season. September 29th against Tampa Bay. Oh, wow. Yeah. TBD. The Bobby Dalbec. So obviously we're and he's actually starting the entire series, so we're going to be leaning on him a lot later in the year.
I think Bobby Dalbec is slated to pitch the last 5 months of the season.
Yeah, and you know that's just to it's just to you know get him pumped, get the team pumped. Just know that you know, hey, if we lose tonight, it's okay. We got
Bob's gonna be
TBD
there.
going for the next 6 weeks.
The Bobby
Bobby
Dalbec.
Dunn. Yeah, exactly. So you know, a tough loss, and that showed after they lost 5-4 to Cleveland. You know, they're heading to Pittsburgh and there are a couple TBDs slotted, and the team is like, you know what? The Bobby has got us. We're good. We're good. And then they sweep. So it's pretty obvious that this is an obvious ploy by the Red Sox. And so far, so good.
I think we should also maybe talk about players in that game that did good stuff.
No, so
I
if you look at
mean,
the if you look at when I posted the series preview for the Pirates series, TBD was slated for the Pirates. It was Brian Baio against TBD, and sure enough, that was the game that Bobby Dalbec had his double.
yeah,
So
he
it
took it
was
personally. There, he's like, they're not gonna start me.
they
I
can't
play for the
start
Red
me.
Sox.
They don't get the Bobby Dalbec like the Red Sox do. I'm gonna hit a double against them. I think we cracked the code. Like it's very clear what's happening here. I don't think we even need to talk about the rest of the other players. Like Will said, that's a silly thing to even bring
Well,
up.
I mean, I just want to give some guys their credit, you know? I mean, think about all the slander we've been throwing at Willier and what a
Oh,
series he had in Pittsburgh.
yep, hand up. That was dumb on my part. He's back. He's good. I'm no longer worried about him. He's really good at baseball, really good at hit.
I think he's the best player on this team.
Just a great series
Considering
out of
that
him.
about 44% of the opening day lineup is on the shelf, I would agree.
Willier Abreu went 3 for 5 with a home run and a double in game one against the Pirates, which we won 8-2-1. Casas homered in that game. Rafaela homered in that game. Rob Refsnyder. We're talking about Bobby Dalbec saving the season. I think Rob Refsnyder is a savior. He goes right into the three hole in this Red Sox lineup and just goes nuts. Two hits, two RBIs. Double and a homer were those two hits, by the way. Rob Refsnyder.
We
Say
needed
his
him
name one more
back so
time.
bad.
Rob Refsnyder, the face of the Red Sox. Emmanuel Valdez had two RBIs, including a double. That's the game Bobby Dalbec had a double. And by the way, Brian Baio, 6 innings, 1 hit, 0 runs, 7 Ks. How you doing? Great start from Baio. Cam Boozer made his major league debut. Shout out Cam Boozer if you haven't heard his story. I don't fully know it, but it's something along the lines of he played baseball and then didn't play baseball and then was a carpenter and then was teaching baseball and was like, hey, I can still throw 90 miles an hour. Made a comeback, made it to the majors with the Red Sox, pitched in that game, pitched later in the series too. Love me some Cam Boozer. He's good too, by the way. Triple A, he was killing it down there. got him the ride up to the major league team, and yeah.
Gotta say, I love the booze.
Big booze man out there.
Big
Yeah,
booze
I'm a big
boozing
booze
and
guy.
cruising.
Yeah, I mean, he's throwing like 98 from the left side. That's pretty dirty.
Yep.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah, he also
great
had a
mustache
scoreless
too.
inning.
He makes the handlebar mustache look cool, unlike Isaiah Campbell.
Oh yeah, this dude I think just replaced Isaiah Campbell in the coolness, mustache coolness.
Yeah, only
race.
One player on the roster can have a handlebar mustache, and currently it's got to be Cam Boozer. So when Campbell gets healthy, I better not see that stupid
gotta
mustache
shave.
On his
gotta
face.
Shave.
Better
Cam
not
Boozer's
see
gonna tie him down and be, there's only one of us. There can only be one of us, and shave it right off. And he's valid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So the Red Sox win that one, 8-1 in Pittsburgh. Game two. Tristan Casas got hurt. Not good. Not good at all. I thought that it was like a little like, oh, swung weird, take the rest of the game off. Maybe you strained something, pulled a muscle. But no, it seems like he's out very seriously for a while, which is not what I thought happened and not good at all for the Red Sox. He has a rib strain, which I didn't know was a thing because I thought ribs were bones. But I guess there's muscles around them and whatnot. This is why I'm not a doctor, as I've said previously on this show. But whatever that is, he got it. And he's out until June, maybe, they're saying. I think the most telling thing is Alex Cora was asked post-game, hey, how's Tristan doing? And Cora goes, he is not okay.
That was the worst thing I saw.
Sugarcoated a little, at least. Like,
yeah,
no,
normally
he's doing awful.
He's not good.
Yeah.
Normally, when a manager is asked that question, they're like, yeah, you know, he's a little sore, but he's doing better. He'll be okay.
Yeah.
Like, he says that about, he's been saying that about Raffy the last 2 weeks.
Or they're like, you know, we're waiting on some tests to come back, and like, he's in a little bit of pain, but whatever, he's managing it. But they're like, hey, C, how's Tristan doing? Is he okay? No, not at all. Oh, God, no.
It's awful.
They're gone.
It's so bad.
He actually had to have his whole ribcage removed.
It's horrific. I've never seen anything like this.
Think of the worst pain you've ever experienced in your life. That's what he's experiencing right now. Like, he's, oh, no.
They asked Casas too, and he's like, yeah, I'm hurt.
I'm in so much pain. I mean, we shouldn't be laughing, but like, the way that this was presented was just absurd.
I was out and about during this game, and then I see that on Twitter out of context. I'm like, what, is Casas dead?
Yeah, did he get shot out there? Like, did he get shot in the ribs? I was also confused because he continued the at-bat and took a walk. So how did he go from, yeah, I'll take first base to, oh my God, my ribs.
My ribs.
I am so confused what happened. But regardless, he's going to be out for a little bit, which is a huge blow to this Red Sox team. Like we talked about, Devers was out for this series. O'Neill's been out with the concussion thing going on. Story's obviously done for the year. And Casas was kind of the one guy left standing. I mean, Duran too, I'd say. But Casas was the big bat in the middle of the lineup. With him down, like, the lineup just falls apart more than it already was. I mean, they still won the next two games. But still, like, without Casas in the lineup, without a guy who you were supposed to lean on this season as the number two guy. Devers is obviously the one. Casas is two as the biggest hitter in your lineup. With him out, it's really going to impact this team. And if Devers and O'Neill are not good to go either, then your whole offense is really just handicapped.
Yeah, I would argue that Casas is actually more important to the offense or to the team at the moment than Devers is, because at least Casas is giving you solid defense at first base. Like, we forget that before he came up at the end of 2022, we had like a bag of sand playing first base for us. Like, that was the whole story of the 2022 Red Sox. Whoever was playing at first base was incapable of catching a ball, which is kind of a critical job function at first base.
A little bit.
So now I don't know what we're going to do.
I mean, you got Pablo Reyes out there. Doesn't that make you feel good?
Not really, because Pablo Reyes is like 5'4".
Did you see the picture of Pablo Reyes meeting O'Neill Cruz? And it looked like
no,
it was a fan. One of the beat writers had it. It was very funny. But it's funny how the Red Sox solution, whenever there's someone that goes down, they just slap Pablo Reyes there. Like, oh, Devers is hurt. Pablo Reyes, put him out there. Ball goes right through the wickets. Oh, Tristan Casas is down. Pablo Reyes is the answer. There's tossing Pablo everywhere. And I mean, Pablo, I don't know. He's a very confusing player to me because he seems to just get hits, but then makes errors. Like, I don't know. It's a very, very interesting dynamic, the whole Pablo Reyes thing with the Red Sox. But he's not the answer to first base. We'll talk about what is, but we got to figure that out. Because if Acostas does miss an extended period of time, you need someone at first base who's not Pablo Reyes. Someone who can actually catch the ball. Someone who can hopefully hit to some degree. Rob Refsnyder was getting looks at first base in the minors when he was rehabbing. But for whatever reason, Cora said that that's not an option to fix their first base problem. I don't know why, because Rob Refsnyder has been hitting. And your outfield is going to be kind of crowded again when O'Neill comes back, if he ever comes back. So that's what I would ideally like, is if he could play first base. I don't know who else you have that could. Let's talk about why, right now. Why not? You have Nico Cavadas. Is that how you pronounce it?
Cavadas.
In the minors. He cannot field for his life, but he's been on fire this year with Worcester hitting. So if you want a guy, he's a lefty too, just like Casas was. He's a big guy. So if you want someone to kind of fill his shoes offensively, there's a guy. People have talked about maybe getting CJ Krohn back, who we had on a minor league deal in spring training. But yeah, no thank you. Brendan Belt's an option, but you kind of got to get him back up to speed. I like that option, but it's going to take a little bit.
I think Brendan Belt is probably your best free agent option looking forward right now, because he's a veteran. He's got a lot of experience. Obviously, he's got the World Series with the Giants too, but it's actually really surprising that he's still a free agent, unless he was hurt or something.
I mean, he is something old.
I missed. He's 36, but in 100 games last year, he had a 136 OPS plus with Toronto. So,
oh yeah, he was good. So in Toronto good. Too, he knows he's the AL East.
Very serviceable.
Yeah,
and I don't know. He must be hurt or something, because there a player like him shouldn't be available. But I would happily take him if that was the case. And I feel like he's a vet. It probably doesn't take that much to get him back up to speed. And if anything, like, you can get him those reps in major league games. It's not really that big of a deal if you throw him at the bottom of the lineup, because at least he's gonna work at bats. He's always been pretty good about getting on base. So
yeah,
at the very least, if he's not gonna, he could not even swing the bat, and he could still probably contribute to this team more than Bobby, because he's gonna be pitching, obviously. But
Right.
Yeah.
I think this is a situation where you can't just kinda plug the holes. You have to find a real solution, because you're already plugging the holes at second base when Ron Grisham went out, and shortstop when Story went out, and third base when Devers has been out, and the outfield. Like, you have so many holes to plug. You need a new boat, realistically, because this boat's not floating too good. But you need a real solution, whether it is calling up a minor league guy who can be consistent there, or signing a veteran like Belt, or maybe getting Jared Walsh, I've seen too, as an option. Whatever it is, you need to find something. Yeah.
There are some really bad options out there. If I see CJ Krohn or Jared Walsh playing first base for my Sox, I'd
rather them than Pablo Reyes.
Well, yeah, but
I don't even know. Watching CJ Krohn in spring training,
it was
bad. Like watching a 19-year-old dog run.
Yeah.
Simply can't.
He's old, dude.
Hey, what's Hanley Ramirez up to out there?
I'd take Hanley. Hanley was fun. I would
absolutely take Hanley.
As long as he's not still being investigated by the FBI, I'd take him.
Oh, I forgot that happened. That's a tough one.
I think they're done with that, though.
You'd think. Who knows what he's doing these days? Regardless, let's get to the rest of this game. Willy Abreu had himself a series. We'll get to his final stats in a second. But he had 3 walks in that game and a hit. Talk about on-base machine. We were talking earlier in the season about how his strikeouts are a problem. He was striking out at like a 40% clip. And the way that he was able to just work at bats and draw walks in that game, fantastic to see. Shows the adjustments he's made. Masataka Yoshida had 3 hits and 2 RBIs in that game, which is good. When you got Casas and Devers and O'Neill out, you need someone like Yoshida to step up So good for him stepping up in that game. Got benched in the next game. Don't know why. We'll get to that. Durant had a triple. Durant, I think, with all these different guys out, he's the best player you have in the lineup. And so triples are fun. I love triples. You got a triple. He's fast, in case you didn't know. That's why. Cutter Crawford was nasty in this game, too. Six innings. Gave up seven hits. That's fine. One run, six Ks. Got out of a bases loaded jam. I did watch this. He was fired up. I love when pitchers get fired up. It's the Nick Pivetta types that just scream. And Cutter was screaming. It's a day game in Pittsburgh. And he's out there screaming his head off when he got out of that jam. I love that energy. Because that was huge. The way that the bases were loaded and he battled to get out of that and not allow any runs from that. Fantastic. Cutter Crawford has been outstanding and then some this season.
No, but you also have to respect that fire. I mean,
yeah,
pitchers, they get like a lot of crap for that, for like showing the energy, and like other teams don't like that. But if you're not out there with fire, you're not trying to compete as hard as you can. When I see that, I like to say, like, yeah, Cutter's here to win. Like, that's a situation where that game could have flipped in the Pirates' direction. He's here to win, and that got him out of a huge jam. He's going to get fired up. He deserves to, and that was awesome to see.
Shows he cares.
Love seeing him get through six, too. Yes. That's also – that like we mentioned with Houck, that's growth. Love yep. to see.
And I think we mentioned it. Maybe not. I don't know. Cutter Crawford leads the MLB in ERA with a 0.66 ERA. A sub-1 ERA after several starts into the season. Like, we're almost into May.
That was his
He's
fifth.
Got an ERA that low. Fifth start.
That was his fifth, and that was his first run that he has given up.
Yeah. Just fantastic. I mean, we talked this offseason about how Cutter Crawford was kind of slept on. Like, we were looking at some different pitchers that we could acquire via trade, and you look at Cutter Crawford's stats compared to those, and Cutter Crawford was better. So the fact that he's able to come out this season and pitch like that is just, it's like we acquired someone good for the rotation. And it's just, yeah, outstanding that he was able to get through six, like you mentioned. Kenley Jansen also had a clean save. He struck out three guys, struck out the side to get the save in that game. Huge. Do you guys see how much he posts after he gets a save on Instagram?
Yes.
The guy posts like 20
times. I found
that kind
of weird. He really loves like patting himself on the back when things yeah. go well, but when things don't, he's like, ah, these baseballs.
Honestly, yeah. for someone who has the worst attitude on the team, pick a side.
Yeah, like every single time he's posted on Instagram. I don't even know if it's him posting, because some of them are phrased really weird, where it's like he'll be like, past what's his face on the all-time saves leader list, so blessed, Red Sox, let's go. Like, he doesn't care about the Red Sox. Let's be real here. He's not a Sox fan. He's not a Sox guy like us. He wants to go out there and get his saves. But, yeah, he got that one. 3Ks. Credit to him. I mean, that also speaks to the Pirates are just really bad. Like, very bad. Like, I didn't realize they were this bad. I thought they were a good team. But, no. No, they are not. Jared Crabb has said it. It felt like we were playing the Red Sox, the way they just messed things up. So, that was a nice break. It's nice to be on the other side of that for once. Game 3. You win 6-1 to sweep the Pirates. Willier Abreu again. Three hits, including a double. Rob Refsnyder again. An RBI double. Wink started that game, Winkowski, because you got no one else out there. He was all right. Bullpen was good. Boozer, Weiser, Slayton had a win. Chase Anderson was good. Justin Slayton, I'd say right now, best reliever on the team. Justin Slayton is so good.
He's 2021 Whitlock.
Yeah, but I don't know how this
keeps
happening.
Let's not make him a starter.
We just need a bunch of hims. Like,
yeah,
we
you
need
just clone
more
this
pitchers
guy,
who can do what he does. He has the right
out.
Pitch selection. He hits the right spots. He knows his situations. Like, this is what an MLB reliever is supposed to look like. Our bullpen needs to start looking at him, watching what he does, and starting to replicate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's crazy how this is his first major league season, too. Like, you look at the guy out there dealing, you're like, oh, this guy's been in the league forever. He's just like, he's been a consistent guy, right? No. First year in the league, incredible. Just incredible. Rule 5 draft pick, too. It's just unbelievable how Craig Breslow and the Red Sox, like, scouting department was able to identify him and have faith in him and trust him to go out there and trade for him an hour after he was selected by, was it the Mets? in the Rule
Yeah,
5
it was the
draft.
Mets.
Yeah, just
That's
incredible.
kind of
And how.
crazy to take a guy in the Rule 5 draft and then trade him right away. I feel like because you don't have to make a Rule 5 pick. So if you're picking the guy, you obviously really like him. Why would you trade him 10 minutes later? I thought that
Yeah,
was
I
weird at
don't
the
know.
time, but shout out to the Mets.
And then also, I think shows how the Red Sox just really wanted him. Like,
Yeah.
Mets picked him. They're like, no. We need this guy. And I see why. Fully see why. I didn't think anything of it at the time. Like, okay, I guess they really want this guy. Cool. And now it makes total sense. Guy's dealing. I love it. Reese McGuire also had a two-run single as a pinch hitter in that game. Pinch hitting for Tyler Heineman because. I want to bring up the lineup from that game just because it was so absurd. The lineup for game three against the Pirates was Rafaela leading off at shortstop. Credit, they put him at shortstop. And they won games. Wouldn't you believe it? Duran batting second. Rob Refsnyder in the 3 hole. Wilyer Abreu in the 4 hole. Connor Wong, your catcher, in the 5 hole. Bobby Dalbec in the 6 spot. Pablo Reyes, seventh. Tyler Heineman eighth and Emmanuel Valdez ninth. I think that's the worst Red Sox lineup I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But they
It's like
made it work.
almost, it sounds like a double A lineup.
Well, yeah, it is. Like I think if you that's basically who was playing for the Woo Sox last year.
Yeah,
And
pretty much.
somehow this team just swept the Pirates.
They swept the Major League Ball Club.
I mean, I know it's the Pirates, but the Pirates have been decent this year. They
They were
started
11
out
and 8
hot.
before that series.
They're still kind of not bad, but we just swept them. How?
Yeah, not only. Yeah, the Pirates are bad, but you also faced Mitch Keller and Martin Perez. Those are
Two
two good
very good
pitchers.
pitchers.
Like,
People
what?
talking about how Yoshida is like dead. Even the Red Sox are now admitting that Yoshida is like dead weight. They straight up benched him for that last
So
game.
yes, but why did they do that? Like, were you really going to get more out of Tyler Heineman than Masataka Yoshida, who had 3 hits and
Yeah.
2 RBIs the day before?
It's so weird.
They're
This
facing a lefty.
situation is getting really weird really quickly because
Yeah.
I know that I kind of said it over the offseason that he really handicaps our roster because, like, the way that things are starting to shake out and how crowded our outfield is, that DH spot is really valuable. But obviously, we have him under contract for the next couple of years. But, like, I know that they want to really take things slow with him to avoid the burnout like last year, but they are really, I don't know if they even like him anymore.
There's no way that like, I feel like he's not even on the team at times.
Yeah, exactly. 'Cause
Because it's one thing if everyone was healthy and you're like, okay, we're facing a lefty, he's been whatever this season, give him a day off. But the fact that Devers O'Neil and Casas were all out and you decide to bench Yoshida, who is $1 million or $100 million player, like you sign him to a legit deal and you're benching him, that's not good. Like there's got to be
Yeah, you're
something
paying this
up
guy
there.
$18 million a year. I mean, his numbers aren't great to start the season, 250 with 2 homers, 700 OPS.
He's been better lately, though. He's been trending upward.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he's trending up, and there's a lot of season left.
there is. I mean, I'm still not the biggest Yoshida guy just because of his impact on the future, but like we need this guy to have a good year because they tried to trade him over the offseason and nobody wanted him. So we need Yoshida to get things going. He started getting really hot in May last year, I feel like. So, and the home run the last game was encouraging, but it's just weird that he's not getting the reps. And I don't know if that's going to change because with how guys are hurt and that they're going to be coming back from injuries, that DH spot is going to need to be used a lot more, especially now with our only good hitters are outfielders, Duran, O'Neill, Refsnyder, and Abreu. That's four. So none of them can really play infield. I would almost rather have them at DH right now than Yoshida, but it's just a really tough situation.
I wish Yoshida was taller, because it'd be cool to put him at first base.
Yeah.
That could work. Yeah.
Yoshida is so frustrating because he's so strong, but he just beats the ball into the ground. Like every single swing, he gets around the ball and just rolls over it to first or second. And if like the biggest thing with him is just keeping the hands inside the ball. And we see him. I see all of his practice swings. He does that. And then he just can't do that in a real at bat. And it drives me nuts because when he does, he's rifling balls off the monster like it's nothing. He's got some, for someone who's 5'8, he's got crazy pop. But he's just, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, he's starting off the year slow. I think he still has potential to be up there hitting, maybe in the five spot for us because he has that power. He has the ability. I mean, we've seen it in the past. I think he's just either cold right now or there's something off with his mechanics that he can't fix. But maybe they just need to give him some time off if that's the decision they're making.
Well, we
And
talked about it
that's
last
basically what they
episode.
did.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it last episode how he had a slow start to the season last year too.
Yeah.
This is very similar. Like
But it's
that's
tough because he was awful in September last year too. So he ended the
Yeah.
season. He had a really nice season through August and everyone was feeling good about him, but he was so bad in September that it just left a bad taste in people's mouth. And now he's
Yeah, I
falling
mean
off. Yeah.
the bad April and the bad September is not acceptable, but that's what happened last year. So it gives me optimism to think that when it heats up, when he gets more settled in the season, whatever it is that's the problem, I feel like he's gonna be better moving forward once you get into the summer months of June, July, August. Because that's what happened last year, and that's all I have to go off of because last year was his first year in the majors. So I'm not concerned really. It's just I'm annoyed because I need him to be better than this. The Red Sox need him to be
Exactly.
better than this.
It's frustrating. It's just
You're paying him
frustrating because
$18 million.
he's gonna warm up eventually. Like he's not gonna be hitting like this all year.
Yeah.
It's just we need him to do it now
But like
instead of
he's
in a couple weeks.
I mean, what happened on Sundays? Basically, unless he was hurt or something, that was a straight up benching. And that's after a game hitting a home run. So it's just so weird.
I
Doesn't make any
believe Alex
sense.
Cora was asked about him. He was asked, "Is Yoshida okay?" And he gave him, "He's okay." So it's the opposite of Casas.
See, and that's even weird. That makes it even weirder because he's like,
That's
yeah, there's nothing wrong with him. We just benched him today in favor
yeah.
of Tyler Heinemann.
Like,
He
yeah, he's
went deep
fine, but
on
he wasn't out
Saturday, but
there.
he's not going to play Sunday. That doesn't make sense to me.
I don't even get why Tyler Heinemann was in there because he got pinch hit for by Reese. I guess because of the lefty.
That was in like the fifth inning, too. That was so weird.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Heinemann was called up because he was the only healthy position player left on the 40-man roster.
Really? That's the
Yeah.
reason? Jeez.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
Yeah,
That's where
going
we're
through
at.
that. Yeah. That's not good. Wow,
But again,
that's
1-3 games into the year.
miraculously, you swept the Pirates and you won this 3 games in this series. Like we're coming off of 3 wins here. Like we're talking about this stuff and somehow you won those games. It's incredible.
I
Just
just
one more
don't know how to
time.
feel.
I don't either, but I will tell you that what I'm about to say is gonna make you feel real good. Willy Abreu in this Pittsburgh series, 7 for 12, 583 average with a homer, 4 RBIs, and 2 doubles. Rob Refsnyder, since getting called up or activated, I guess, from the injured list. 4 for 13, that's a 308 average with a homer, 3 doubles, and 3 RBIs. Every hit he's had has been extra bases. It's been 3 doubles and a homer. That's crazy. From Rob Refsnyder, huge. And it's not just against lefties. We call Rob Refsnyder the lefty killer. This has been against all pitchers, righties, lefties, all of them. Crazy. Crazy.
See, I love it.
See,
Not
Joey, those are fun
fun facts
facts.
with Joey,
Those are
fun
very
facts
fun
with
facts.
Jason. That's how
Yeah.
you do a fun fact. I was smiling that whole time.
Yeah. SeatGeek is the best ticket provider out there for all sports, concerts, shows, and more. Not only do they have fantastic deals, but they provide you with tools to make sure you're getting great tickets. They give you a grade for each price so you can be confident you're getting the best value possible. They show the view from the seat so you can know what you're getting ahead of time. And you get the tickets right on your phone, making it all easy. With their wide selection of sports, concerts, shows, and more, SeatGeek knocks it out of the park, like Rob Refsnyder, when it comes to buying tickets. Plus, you can get $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek by using the very special promo code Dugout.
That's DUG, OUT. Go see the Sox on the road, not at Fenway. Don't go to
Yes,
Fenway.
do not go to Fenway Park. Do not. They are 3-7 at Fenway Park, 10-3 away. I think we need to play every game away, even when we're at
Road
Fenway. Put on the
Warriors.
grays, put on the grays, and hit sec or hit first. You just got to do it. It's like Nick Pivetta coming out of the bullpen last year. You just got to do it. It works. Why?
We should get an
Why
airline
though?
sponsor so that we can see them on the road for the rest
Yeah,
of the year.
JetBlue.
It really
Yeah.
doesn't make any sense.
It's supposed to be, I mean, you're not supposed to be that bad at away either, but like it's supposed to be the opposite. Like you should be really good at home and slightly worse away. This has been a problem though. It was like this last year too, not to this extreme, but still. What? Like Fenway Park is supposed to be a place that energizes the players because of Boston fans, and yeah, they're not selling out as much. The stands are empty, but Boston fans still care, I guess, right? They'll cheer them on. Well,
One thing I will say though is 3-7 at home. Three of those losses are to the Orioles, and three of them are to the best record in the MLB Guardians. So, I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt, but being 10-3 on the road is just really impressive.
you know, that's a really good point because if you also look at the away, you swept the A's and you swept the Pirates. Good point. Put it in perspective. Fair. But, I mean, still, you got to play better at home.
Trying to be at least a little bit rational.
Oh, I mean, I like to be the opposite side of the irrational and be like, we're 10-3 away. This team's incredible.
No, that's
I
that.
like getting to that side, but I kind of wanted to bring it back a little bit towards reality, you know?
I mean, you got to do that sometimes.
But on the bright side, we're gross on the road.
Yeah, so if you want to enjoy watching Red Sox baseball, turn on the road games. It's also nice because road teams typically have better start times. I like the 6:40 starts. I think
'Cause
in
usually
Cleveland, we
we're
got some 6:10 starts going on.
6:10 for the
Is
Cleveland
Cleveland Central
series.
time?
No.
No.
Ah. Cool.
All right, some things to look for this week in
In
Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah. The big
Yeah, we're
Cleve.
playing them again.
The land.
My first thing is playing Cleveland is really boring, even if they have the best team in the league. In parentheses, I don't even know how their offense is the best in the league because the only ones I can name are Jose Ramirez, Josh Naylor, and Andrés Giménez at second base. So
Stephen Kwan.
how are they? Oh, Stephen Kwan. Love Stephen Kwan.
How are they this good? Like for real though.
Yeah, no, I don't
Like,
understand it because they got Blake Lively, Carlos Carrasco in their rotation. So like,
Yeah, well, Blake Lively is a starting pitcher
We're
for the
seeing Blake. I
Guardians.
made this mistake last. This is
That surprised me.
Yeah.
That's
She's
my
got a good
next
changeup.
note. Let's take advantage of Blake Lively and Carlos Carrasco again because Tristan McKenzie, even though he's a 5 ERA, is probably going to shove against us. That has a get right start written all over it, even though McKenzie's having a really bad year. Another thing, I'm curious to see how Houck does against Cleveland again. I feel like it could either be really, really good or really, really bad because he just dominated against them, so he could either continue that or they've seen him now like six or two starts in a row. That's a lot of ABs, so we'll see how that goes.
Well,
That's
that's
going to
like
be
what
a very
happened with the Angel
mental.
series. Like he pitched
Exactly.
against the Angels and then pitched again against them his next start and was good the first one, bad the second one because they just saw him. So like you said, it'll be interesting to see how he does
He's
against them
obviously
again.
not going to do what he did last
What
week,
if he
but
does? What if he throws a complete game
that would
shutout
be
again?
really cool. That would be
It's
really
going to
cool.
have to be really, really a mental game from Hauk for that one because they're going to be watching all the film from that game. They're going to know his sequencing, his ideas. He's going to have to switch up everything to get by these Guardians. That now it's going to be his technically fourth, fifth, and sixth times through the order.
On the bright side, though, maybe it will provide him some confidence. Be like, oh, I just dominated these guys.
True.
You know, I don't know. We'll see.
And then
Him against Blake Lively.
last thing to look forward to this week is I didn't realize this until today, but the Cubs are playing at Fenway this weekend. I don't care
Oh.
what the score is, I don't care who's pitching. That is just going to be peak vibes. Cubs at Fenway. That's fun.
Cubs and Sox, man. Cubs and Sox. Gotta
Yeah.
love it.
The old 1918 rematch, I think.
Sure. I don't know.
Maybe.
I wasn't around then. Can I give a key that I have that you didn't
Yeah.
mention? I just got a key. Devers and Tyler O'Neill should be back in this series.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, in this series. Yeah,
Yeah.
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Should be out there, those two.
I gotta say, I'm worried about Tyler O'Neill just because concussions in baseball are so weird.
They
Because,
scramble your head.
yeah, because it happened to Rizzo last year and he still isn't the same. He's like, yeah, I can't see the ball anymore.
You kind
So
of need to see
hopefully,
the ball to hit the ball. That's what I've learned.
yeah, so hopefully his concussion symptoms aren't as bad as Rizzo's, but that's a little concerning.
I'm
I
also
remember
concerned.
Brock Holt was out for a long time with a concussion too.
He
He
had
just didn't
vertigo that
get
came
better.
with it.
It was, yeah.
So yeah, definitely concerning for
Yeah.
sure. I mean, just real quick, that also makes me think of how it'd be nice to have the DH spot open instead of Yoshida taking it up, so you can kind of ease O'Neill back in a little bit, because he's not going to go on a rehab assignment for this, but it would be nice to just get him some kind of less pressure games where he's just having to hit and can focus on that versus being out in the field with the bright lights and whatnot. But you know, Yoshida's going to be there unless he's benched. Maybe they'll bench him for, I don't know.
Is he? I
I'm at a
don't know
point
if he's
now.
played in the field yet. Oh, Yoshida has played one
Once.
inning in left
I
field.
remember that. I
Yeah,
remember
I
that.
remember that too.
But yeah, I mean, this Red Sox team has me at a point where I don't know what to expect from anything. Like, I don't know who's going to get hurt. I don't know who's going to be playing on a given basis. I don't know who's going to be hitting in the three hole in the lineup on a given day. So right now, I'm lost, I'm confused, and they have me bamboozled, really. I don't know what's going to happen next at any point. But do we want to predict what's going to happen in the series on that note?
I'm riding with the Road Warriors, the AAA lineup. I got a sweep.
Oh,
Whoa.
Joey's breaking out the brooms against the best team in the league.
We're just gonna keep it
I love
going.
it. I love
Plain and
it.
simple.
Back-to-back
The
sweeps. I love it.
more no names, the better. I actually hope Devers and O'Neal don't come back because they're just gonna ruin the vibes. This lineup, legit.
Put Heidemann
We
in
are
the
getting
cleanup spot.
bold take after bold take after
Yeah.
bold take. I say we take two.
I hate
Which two?
that I'm bringing the
Realistically,
positive
we
vibes
take
right now.
one, but I'm saying we take two.
Which two?
I'm saying game two
You
and
gotta,
three. I don't
yeah,
think
you
we're gonna
gotta take
go.
game
I don't
two.
think we're going 4 in a row.
We
So I
got
think we're gonna win
TBD
games
pitching
two and
game
three.
two. The
Yeah.
Bobby Dalbec.
Yeah, we
The
got two
Bobby
and three
Dalbec.
then.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go. I think we win two out of three as well. However, I'm gonna say we win game one. I think Tanner Houck's gonna be good again, and I don't think Blake Lively's got it out there. So I think
No,
we
I
win
don't
that
either.
one.
That's why I have game one. I have game two because we got TBD, the Bobby Dalbec. And then game three, I said it's a big get right opportunity for Tristan McKenzie. But looking at his numbers, his velo is down like 2 miles an hour because he injured his elbow last year. And instead of getting surgery, he decided to just not. So
You know, it could be a big get wrong game too. Get wronger.
Yeah, I mean his ERA is 5, so there's not much m more room to get wronger, but
Yeah.
could happen.
Oh, something of note, Brian Baio is pitching against him in that game during the day.
Brian Bayo's been better in day games than night
He
games
has
this
been
year.
better. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's the other one I think we'll win is the last game of the series, Brian Baio against McKenzie. I think we'll drop the middle one. You know, the bullpen games have been good. I think they're just bound to not work one time. And Carrasco is a veteran pitcher, and we're going to have a lot of young guys in the lineup. So he might just, you know, confuse them, fool them with some mediocre stuff. So I think we won two out of three, first game and last game. But I think that we're all being very bold thinking that we win the series after just
Yes,
losing a four game
because
set to
if we're
them.
being realistic, our team kind of stinks.
Terrible. But on the road, they're good. And we're on the road for this. So, really, it could go either way. It would be very fitting for them to lose 3 out of 4 at Fenway to the Guardians and then win 2 out of 3 or sweep on the road in Cleveland against them. I just don't really think the Guardians are that good. Like, I'm sorry.
I don't either.
When I think of the Guardians, I think of Jose Ramirez swinging and missing at the pitch that hit him in the knee.
Remember when I feel like last year's series in Cleveland was a real low point, because that was when Jose Ramirez had the 3-homer game.
Oh.
And that was when Corey Kluber died. That was his final major league appearance.
That'll do it.
Oh my God. Yep. That was the worst pitching performance I ever saw, because it was, he gave up, 8 straight hits? And it was
unbelievable.
It was
disgustingly bad. Like, and I was offended.
That was either the same night or the night after the Sox got flamed for starting that homophobic guy. That was the Cleveland series. So let's not do that this year.
Don't do that.
Don't pitch. Hey, I know we got TBD going on Wednesday, but don't sign Corey Kluber for that, please.
Please. I mean, it's going to be what? Criswell?
Probably.
The Bobby Dalbec. Yeah.
Bobby Dalbec. Who are we playing after Cleveland? You say that was the Cubs series?
At Fenway. And then after that, that's another fun one, the Giants at Fenway. Don't see that very often.
Huh.
Oh, I remember I went to a Red Sox-Giants game at Fenway one year, and the crowd was like chanting back and forth, "Let's go Giants, let's go Red Sox," and there were tons of people from San Francisco. It was crazy.
That sucks that that's a midweek series. We'll talk about it more next week because we'll have to preview it. But
yeah, this schedule is just disgusting all around.
Yeah, it sucks. Like, it's at least they have the Cubs on a weekend, so like there are going to be a lot of Cubs fans. That'll be good vibes. But
yeah, Sunday Night Baseball?
What? Oh, Cubs.
Sunday Night Baseball.
The only benefit about the Sox being kind of bad the last few years is that we don't have to play on Sunday nights anymore.
I cannot wait for the national audience, all of America, to see David Hamilton play shortstop on Sunday Night Baseball.
That might have the lowest ratings of any Sunday Night Baseball ever.
Jail.
Just immediately right to jail. That's not... I hope... Honestly, we'll find a way to win that game and look incredible somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to score 27 runs, actually.
I need it. Yep. What's that, 3 runs each inning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that's exactly 1 3-run homer each inning.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Think about it. A bloop, a walk, and a blast.
All it takes.
I'm parlaying that. 1 3-run home run every inning exact.
You could put like $2 on that and never have to work again.
Oh my God, you'd be a billionaire.
Yeah.
I like this because there are 9 innings, 9 players in the lineup, so everyone just hits a 3-run homer.
Yes,
so,
each of them.
Honestly, you're not asking for much. You're just like, hey, Heinemann, just 3-run
bomb. Get one.
You can pick your inning.
All right, it's your inning. You go hit a 3-run home run.
Your turn. Get up there.
Dibs on 7th.
Someone accidentally hits like a solo shot like right after. Oh no, what are you doing?
If it was at Fenway though, it would only be 8 innings.
No, because the Cubs are gonna score 20.
The Cubs are gonna match.
We're gonna have to
obviously
go to the bottom of the 9th.
Yeah. So it's gonna be a walk-off 3-run homer.
27-26 score.
27-26 final.
Obviously. Like no right, doubt.
I don't know if I'm permitted to give betting advice, but Sunday night, take the over 52.5.
Yeah. Easy over.
Easy over.
Yeah. Home runs too. Over 10.
What?
Over 15.
Home runs over 10. Because you know the Cubs are going to hit them too.
Oh, yeah.
Over 5 position players will pitch.
Yeah. It's just going to be all position. That's going to be the Bobby Dalbec game. He's going to be out there on the mound. He's going to hit a 3-run homer and be like, all right, get on the mound now.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that one. That'll be good.
They should really wear throwbacks for that series, but they're not going to because that's...
They never do.
They never do. I wish they did. I love a good throwback game. They should start Bobby, and they have to make him do the old school windup.
I don't think they'd have to make him. I think that's just what he would go out there
and
do.
Sorry. Yeah, that is his...
That's his windup.
For those of you who don't know, he does the whole swing your arms over the top of your head, you know, pretend to
He's got
throw
to
the
like
ball under
wind up
him.
like with
Yeah.
his throwing arm, just
Yeah,
get
the
the
old.
motor going.
Love that.
Yep.
Just a real traditionalist out on the mound, Bobby Dalbec.
If you put his niche BD, those are his initials, baseball dude. That's what it stands for.
Yeah, the Bobby Dalbec, the baseball
The
dude.
baseball dude. That's who he is. What's his middle name? One moment.
He definitely has a fun one.
Gonna be like Francis.
Gonna be like
That's my middle
Mark.
name.
Vernon.
Vernon. Ooh, I
Wow.
like that.
All right.
I like that.
Robert Vernon Dahlbeck.
Why doesn't he change his name to Vernon?
Yeah, Vernie Dalbec. I kind of like
Rob
that.
Vern.
Wow. I think if he did that, he would turn his career around. Like, because think about it. It's like, oh, it's Bobby up there. Stepping up to the plate is Vernon.
I like
Game
that.
changer. Game changer. I think we've talked more about Bobby Dalbec on this show than anything else.
But then he wouldn't be TBD, he'd be TVD.
I
Yeah.
mean, that's obviously why he hasn't done it.
Right. Right. For sure. we got
Looking
anything
forward
else?
to that.
Yeah,
Looking
that'll be a
forward
good
to
one.
this week.
Yeah,
Yeah, Sox.
can't wait. Love the Sox. Love
Oh,
watching them.
one last thing. I had a
Yep.
dream about Kyle Teal over the weekend. I don't even know what Kyle Teal looks like, but I had a dream that I was at his major league debut, so maybe that is going to happen. Probably
I
not.
just picture Blake Swihart.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Go Bruins, right? Yeah, go
Yeah,
Bruins.
go
Stick and
Bruins.
puck.
Go
Pucks in deep.
Bruins.
Pucks in deep.
Get those
Cycle.
goals. Do the hockey. Let's go. Celtics too. Do the basketball.
Boss.
Yeah.
Go
Love that.
C's, go B's, go
Yeah.
Sox.
Go B's, go C's, go TBD.
I like that.
All right, see you next time on the In the
Cool.
Dugout podcast. Thanks for listening.